Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
I'm telling you this as in this is what the Word of God says. You have direct access to God anytime you want. Anytime you want. The veil that separated within the temple was torn from the top to the bottom when Jesus died on the cross, meaning that a way was made through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus into the very presence of God anytime you want. And you approach Him as, yes, you are God Almighty, but you know what? You're my Papa.
Just stop and think about that for a moment. You have access to God anytime you want. In his message today, Pastor James reminds us that God is both Almighty God and our Abba Father. Isn't that marvelous? We don't need to make an appointment or take a number. Our powerful Papa loves it when we come to Him. He wants us to spend time with Him. And when we're with Him, He treats us to peace, acceptance, love, and joy. He listens to us and He helps us with our troubles. So why don't we visit our Heavenly Father right now? Now here's Pastor James in the book of Romans chapter 8 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
As many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, meaning your position within the family is like, it's more than what you can think or imagine. That's all he's communicating for you ladies. And there's some Bible translations that would say like sons and daughters of God. I don't agree with that. I don't like that. It takes away some of the punch from that, the position that presents to you, regardless of whether you're male or female. So it means that you're in the family. God like thinks highly of you, regardless of who you are. Verse 15, he says, you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This is amazing here. In Christ, number one, you have a new identity. That new identity translates into new intimacy that's been made available between you and God. And you also get an inheritance. Like these are the blessings that are there for Christians. And we sometimes, unfortunately, limit these things to like, I'm going to heaven. Sweet, cool. That's not all of it though. I know that's a big deal. And that's a major deal. Hear me out, I'm not diminishing that at all. But sometimes in our witnessing to other people, we're presenting a very incomplete package. I get it. Heaven versus hell. That's a good selling point, right? Like, yes, okay, I'm in. I don't want to go there and I'll go here. What we also need to be reminded of ourselves, but then to share with other people that you might be sharing the gospel with is heaven is your eternal destination, but you get a new identity in Christ. You're made brand new in Him. And for the first time in your life, there is a new element of intimacy that comes with that relationship. You get to approach God the Father in a way that you never could. And in fact, you get to call Him by name that you never could have called Him. In fact, if the Holy Spirit isn't dwelling within you, then you can't call Him by this name. And then you get an inheritance. An inheritance. Like, what does that mean? I don't know fully. I don't know, but there's some cross-references I want to read to you guys that help kind of line this out. But there's a term there, though, that I do want to define real fast before I move into these cross-references. Spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption, it means the spirit who confirms adoption is technically what that means. And this word adoption means to have the place of a son, okay, within the family. And in the Roman world, the audience would understand this term, okay, because adoption was kind of a commonplace practice within the Roman world, right? And when you adopted somebody into your family, you adopted, say, a son into your family, then that son would have a position within your family that would be above any of the workers that you may have hired. But it also is like they are entitled to whatever you have, they are entitled to those things. Like it's a big deal to be adopted, especially back then in that Roman culture. It was a massive thing. It was an incredible thing. And so Paul is using this terminology. In fact, that term adoption is used 5 times in the New Testament. here in verse 15, later in verse 23, chapter 9, verse 4, he'll mention it again, Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, which I'm about to read that one, and then again in Ephesians 1, verse 5. Five times in the New Testament, all by the Apostle Paul, he uses this term adoption to apply to you and to myself. You get saved, you're born again, and then you are born again into the family of God. And he has adopted you in, not as infants, but as full-grown adults, full-functioning adults. And with that adoption comes an inheritance. We'll read one cross-reference at the end that maybe shed some lights on that inheritance. But I'm going to read these references to you guys real fast. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So here's Paul addressing the church of Corinth, and he's saying, look, you didn't receive the spirit of fear, okay? You've actually been set free from the spirit of fear, okay? You've been set free from bondage, the spirit of bondage, and again, to fear. So those two kind of go together, the spirit of bondage and fear. You've been set free from that. Okay, I'll read it again. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again, because you've been delivered out of bondage, to fear. You have been set free from fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. You are not subject to fear. Okay, I'm going to just keep saying that because you need to know that fear has no control over you. You've been set free because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. He has set you free from the power of bondage and that of fear. Again, it's why we say this all the time. The most repeated command in all of the scriptures 365 times is do not fear. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Why? Because you're set free from that. But I fear. I know. So do I. You don't have to, all right? That's all I'm saying. You're like, yeah, that's easier said than done. Amen, all right? I agree with that 100%, but we're not subject to it anymore. Now, this isn't like the natural fear that is healthy, okay, in one sense, because there is an element of fear that you need to have within your personhood. If some wild animal is charging after you, you should be afraid, okay? And you should react on that instinct, okay? Instinct is telling you, you need to run or climb or hide, do something because this is bad. We're not talking about that fear. That's a natural instinct that God has, praise God, he's given us that. Until you're 25 in a male, you don't really understand that fully. I think is when that frontal lobe is developed and that click, that's about when it clicked on for me. I was like, oh wait, I probably shouldn't do that anymore. Yeah, also having kids, that helped out with that too. This natural thing is there for a reason, but we're not talking about that. We're talking in the spiritual realm. We're talking in the supernatural realm, where the enemy likes to whisper in your ear and get you fearful. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it this month. You're not going to. You're not okay. You're not. God doesn't love you. Yeah, he saw that mistake. He sees all your mistakes. He may love those guys. He doesn't love you. The spirit of fear wants to whisper in your ear all the time, all the time. But those people, they're talking about you. Those people don't like you. Oh, they don't appreciate you. That person doesn't love you. And it's just triggering fear, sowing seeds of fear into your heart. This is a supernatural element you're dealing with here. This is a spiritual thing. I would even go so far as to say this is a demonic thing. You may have unknowingly kind of like lived in that environment for a long time before Jesus, but when you surrender your life to Jesus, that spirit of bondage, again, to fear, the two are connected. The bondage and the fear are connected. That was broken by Jesus. Not the natural good fear of there's a fin in the water, you might want to tuck your feet in on the surfboard kind of thing, right? Like, that's natural, that's good. But no, the whispering from the enemy of like, you don't got this. You're no good. You're no good. And whatever that fear may be like, or that diagnosis, oh yeah, you're going to die. There's no help. There's no cure for you. There's no hope for you. It's the fear, which leads to the worry and the anxiety and the depression. You're not subject to that anymore. You're not. You've been set free from that. And that's a worldly spirit. And that's what Paul is saying, even to the church of Corinth. He's like, you know, we have the Spirit of God that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It's this Holy Spirit that reveals to us what we have in him. And part of what you have in him is freedom from all those things that used to control you. Again, I know that this may come across as like some pie in the sky, like good self-help kind of thing. I'm just telling you, this is just what the word says. This is why you have Bibles. I'm not here to puff you up or to try to trick you or anything. I'm just here to remind you, this is just what the word of God says. And it doesn't take a whole lot of commentary for me to expose these truths to you and I today. I mean, what it says is what it says. It's like, well, maybe there's a, you know, in the Greek, you know, guys got in there and they messed with the word. They didn't do that. And there's no mistranslation here. It says exactly what it says. When you got saved, this isn't the spirit you received. It wasn't a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. You were welcomed into the family of God as one of his kids. And so if you're welcomed into the family of God, I don't care what other outside spiritual forces there may be, none of those things, even collectively, are stronger than God or stronger than the Holy Spirit, who is God in spirit dwelling inside of you. You've been set free and you're welcomed into his family. And as being part of his family, you get to cry out what Jesus himself cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abba, Abba, which for any good Jew, I mean, you don't ascribe that name to God at all. But Jesus, in his moment of like, he's sweating great drops of blood and he cries out, Abba, if there's any other way, nevertheless, let your will be done, not my will. So he himself cried that out. Galatians 4:6, or actually 4:5 and 6, Paul references this term as well. Because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Mark 14, that's the gospel reference. Mark 14:36 is where Jesus himself spoke that term, Abba. This, because of the spirit dwelling in you, is now what's been made available to you on how to address God, your Father, as Abba, probably the most intimate name you could give to God. It's Papa. It's Papa. Like, it doesn't get more intimate than that. That wasn't available to you before Jesus, but it is now. It is now. That's why the song we sing, Good, Good Father, because he is a good, good father, and he loves you. I mean, all of this, if anything, we're reading through these portions of scripture, all of this should just direct us towards like the love of God and how much he cares about you. And he's like, man, I've done all the work. I've done all the work. You did all the sin and I did all the work. You did all the stuff, you made all the messes, but I paid all of the price. And not only then, it doesn't end with the cross and it didn't end with the empty tomb. It is still active and ongoing to this day where God is like, I'm making ways for you to enjoy me on an intimate level that you've never known before. You can call me Papa. And it's the spirit inside of you that allows you to call me Papa. And we still have absolute reverence towards God. There is some thought too in Jesus's model prayer that he started that off with, Abba. At least in the Aramaic, it was translated that way. He addresses our Father who art in heaven. He started it off with our Abba, our Papa, who's in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Right? Beautiful prayer, model prayer that gives a beautiful little insight into how Jesus addressed God the Father. That kind of changes things for you and I think, in one sense, because you might approach God in a cowering, kind of fearful way, right? You're like, here I am again. Here's my messes again. Please don't, you know, kill me or whatever it is. But a good father knows how to discipline his kids. And if he's got a spanky, he's going to do that. And if you're smart, you say, thank you for correcting me, right? Like, yes, but I'm not asking for another, but yes, thank you for correcting me. Help me to not, you know, revisit this. You have the ability to access and to go before God Almighty as your Abba, as your Papa. Like, that's the access that you have. And I'm not telling you this because I think that that's what you have. I'm telling you this as in, this is what the Word of God says. You have direct access to God anytime you want. Anytime you want. The veil that separated in the within the temple was torn from the top to the bottom when Jesus died on the cross, meaning that a way was made through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus into the very presence of God anytime you want. And you approach him as, yes, you are God Almighty, but you know what? You're my Papa. You're my Abba. And I'm just one of your kids. I'm one of your kids. And I know I got a lot of work that needs to be done on me. But you brought me into your family because you wanted me here. And I want to be here in your presence. I just want to hang out with my Papa. Just want to hang out with my Papa until this is all said and done. And then all of eternity is hanging out with your Abba. It's childlike, and there should be an element of that to where it's like, it creates this image, I think it should anyways, of a loving God with his arms open, just like within the prodigal son story, where he's like, just come running to me, man. Like, I've never stiff-armed any of my kids when I walk into my house. Right? They come, well, they don't do this much. Well, there's two back there. They don't come running to me anymore. You guys know how it is. They're all teenagers. When they were little children, there's an excitement. Papa's here, right? That's not what they call me. Dad's here. Run to me. I'm not like stiff arm. Like, hey, give me my space, kid. You're driving me nuts. You're annoying me. That's not at all how I function as a father. Oh, you want to be with me? Let's go. Let's hang out. Let's do silly stuff together. Let's have fun together. I don't know where we lost that with God. And I'm not like diminishing his almightiness, but I do want to paint a picture for you because I think some of us have this block in our relationship with him that I think more times than not, he's probably that dad who's just like, hey, come run into my arms. Let's hang out. Let's do some cool stuff together. Let's just hang out. If you're listening to the enemy whisper those lies, what he's going to try to convince you of is that that's actually not true of God. And if you get close to him, then he's going to see you for who you truly are, and then he's going to squash you. Or worse, he will distance himself from you, never wanting to talk to you or be approached by you ever again, because you're disgusting. Because a true Christian would never do what you do. A true Christian would never think how you think. You think God wants to be around you? Are you kidding? You think, oh, God as a Papa wants to embrace you into his arms in your current state? Oh, far from it. That's the lies of the enemy. The whole time God's like, bring it in. God, I'm messy. Bring it in. God, I messed up. Bring it in. Like, bring it in. Let's hug this thing out. You know, there's consequences. Yeah, for sure. But I love you, and I'd rather receive consequences from a loving father who I know cares so much about you and myself that he would send his only son to die on the cross for all my junk. You get to cry out, Abba, Father. That's what's been made available to us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what you have. Okay, this isn't hypothetical. Maybe, I don't know, fingers crossed. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He's given you a spirit of power, spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. Verse 16 and 17, last little bit here. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay, so part of that fruit of like, if you're wondering like, well, I don't know, am I saved or am I not saved? Part of the fruit that is evidence that the Spirit does dwell inside of you is your ability to call upon God as your Abba, as your Papa. It also is fruit that it's one of the fruits that's produced by the Spirit dwelling in you is also your ability to call upon Jesus as Lord. But the Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit, with our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Nobody really likes that last little bit, but that's part of it, okay? So the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Ephesians chapter 1:13 says, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's put his mark upon you, and you're one of God's kids. And if you're one of God's kids, then that means you're one of his heirs. And if you're one of his heirs, then that means that you are a co-heir or a joint heir with Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean you're on the same level as Jesus. He supersedes you and myself. But we are heirs of God along with Christ. And yes, you will suffer with him. To what degree? I don't know. But if you're a Christ follower, you will suffer. That's reality, okay? It's part of it. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have what? Tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have all the stuff. It's coming. Why? Because you're connected to him. Because you're connected to Jesus. The world doesn't love Jesus. The world doesn't love Jesus. They may admire Jesus as a good teacher. Oh, but he is not the Son of God to them. He is not the Savior who died on the cross and rose from the grave. Not to them. In fact, they might be okay with Jesus, but they hate his church. And they certainly hate anybody who stands for truth. In this world, you will have trials, tribulations, difficulties. You will indeed suffer to a certain extent with him. That may look different than your neighbor. That may look different from our brothers and sisters on the other side of this planet. But suffering's a part of the deal. It's a part of the thing. But there's a future hope, there's a future glory that's to come that makes all the suffering worthwhile. In fact, the whole next portion of Romans deals specifically with that. But I want to read to you Ephesians 1, verse 3, real fast. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, his kids, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So if you are a Christ follower, you are a Christian, that means that your life is hidden in Christ. That is your place. That's who you're in Christ. But with that comes the fact that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Again, I don't know what all that means. We know what some of that means, I think. But I can't give you a good laundry list of every spiritual blessing that's been made available to you. But we do know that part of that is freedom from sin, victory over the flesh, the ability to call God our Abba, our Papa, and my goodness, a handful or about 1,000 other things that go along with that. Everything you need to be successful, quote unquote, within this life and your Christian walk has already been provided for you. You just need to lay hold of that. Okay, and that's not a name it and claim it thing. That's like a read it, study it, and apply it kind of a thing. Okay? Get into the Word of God, and man, enjoy a relationship that has been made available to you by Jesus and his death and resurrection that has blown open this doorway, this pathway into the very presence of God where you get to go and sit at the feet of your Abba, your Papa, and say, can we just hang out? Can we just hang out? And God's like, I love it when you come to me. I love it when you want to hang out with me.
Are you hurting? Do you feel lost? We'd like to invite you to hop on the nearest device and type breadforthebroken.com in the search bar. This will lead you to the ministry outreach program of Calvary Galveston in Galveston, Texas. Once you're there, please click on the contact tab at the top of the page to contact us through email. This is a safe and secure way to let us know how we can pray for you and support you in whatever situation you find yourself in. It would be our pleasure and honor to pray for you. We want you to find the same hope and new life in Jesus that we found for ourselves. That website once again was breadforthebroken.com. While you're there, check out all of the other messages from Pastor James Grizzle by clicking on the listen link at the top of the page. Are you close by? We invite you to join us Sunday mornings or Thursday evenings. If you're anything like me, that may sound intimidating, but we want you to know that we're a simple, uncomplicated, and laid-back group just trying to follow Jesus and encourage one another in the faith. go to our website, breadforthebroken.com, to get all the information you need to come. Would you consider partnering with us in spreading the gospel message by giving to this ministry? If your answer is yes, our website has information on how you can do that. We promise it's a quick and easy process. Before we go, we do want to say thank you to all of our listeners, both new and old, for being part of this ministry. We trust that you'll be back again for more, here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man.